Welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Folt. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities mining in the junior resource sector. And on the line from Vancouver is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Folt. Mickey, how have you been?
I've been well, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing well, just shaking off a bit of a bug I picked up over the weekend. You know, it's a wonder what about 15 hours straight of sleeping will do for you. You can bounce back pretty quickly.
Well, that's good to know.
Okay, well, we pretty well exhausted the base metals. You decided that we should take a toxic turn on the program and do a few shows on toxic metals. And out of the gate, we're going to tackle mercury. Let's begin on the ground floor here, Mickey, with mercury. Where do we find it on the periodic table? When was it first discovered? And tell us about some of the characteristics.
Okay, mercury is number 80 on the periodic table, and it sets just above gold. So it's a very heavy metal. It's the only metal that's liquid at room temperature and pressure, commonly referred to as quicksilver, and that comes from the Greek, and it means water silver, of course, referring to its liquidity at normal room temperature and pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Silvery white, poor conductor of heat, good conductor of electricity. It's very non-reactive except with other metals, and especially gold and silver. And it dissolves them to form amalgams, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. It's been known since antiquity. It was found in Egyptian tombs. The Egyptians, the Chinese, the Greeks, and Romans all used it in cosmetics and ointments. By 500 BC, it was discovered to make amalgams, mm-hmm. and the alchemists of the Middle Ages used it very robustly to try to make gold from other metals.
Okay, it's usually produced from, is it a cinnabar rock? Is that correct?
Yeah, cinnabar is the mercury sulfide. It's very rare in the crust, mercury, at about 80 parts per billion, but it's very non-reactive, so in that regard it can be concentrated in ore deposits as the native element, and cinnabar, which you first referred to, and it often occurs in hot springs deposits and very young volcanics.
Okay, now you mentioned that the ancient Egyptians, the Chinese, used it in cosmetics. How long did it take for humans to discover that this stuff can be rather nasty?
Well, it took quite a while, and it has some quite adverse effects. For instance, the expression "mad as a hatter" comes from the fact that it was used to make felt hats, especially from beaver pelts, and the hatters we're a crazy group of people, basically, because it affects your can affect your mental capacity.
Mm-hmm.
It's it can be absorbed through the skin and the mucous membranes, but it's especially toxic when it's inhaled as vapors, and it can be both chronic and acute poisoning. Results in sensory impairment, tremors, lack of coordination, and the aforementioned insanity.
Okay, it sounds like some people I see on a Saturday night, a lack of coordination and insanity.
I think that's another liquid we haven't talked about yet.
Yes, indeed. You mentioned that it's next to gold, I believe, on the periodic table. Interesting, because when we talk about the chemical properties, it doesn't react with most acids, and I understand that it can dissolve many other metals, such as gold.
Yeah, it can dissolve gold and silver quite readily, and that's how gold and silver are recovered, especially by artisanal miners. But it makes amalgams with other metals, including manganese and copper and zinc,
mm-hmm.
and aluminum and sodium. The so-called mercury vapor lamps are amalgams with sodium. Interestingly, it corrodes aluminum, and so that's why no mercury is ever allowed on airplanes, because it just keeps eating away at aluminum. And there's been some acts of terrorism in the past with putting mercury on aircraft.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you first suggested, Mickey, that we talk about mercury, the number one thing that popped into my head, those old-fashioned thermometers, you know, that were filled with mercury in the tip of them, and also silver fillings.
Well, that's true, yes. Yeah. Used extensively in dentistry, although that's being replaced now because there are ceramics that are more aesthetically pleasing. But yes, it has been used for a long time in dental fillings. It's also been used in medicines and vaccines. The thermometer use is gradually being replaced by a gallium indium 10 alloy. It was used historically for the production of chlorine and sodium hydroxide. It's still used a lot in instruments and switches. But the main uses now are by artisanal gold miners, and it's become quite a problem worldwide. Estimated 15 million people mine gold artisanally or illegally in most instances, and they use mercury, and they make the amalgam, and then they retort the mercury off, and it becomes quite the environmental hazard. The other thing that it's used extensively for and is likely to continue for quite some time is in compact fluorescent lighting. So, but it's still used in cosmetics and lots of mascaras, less and less in the aforementioned chlorine production, used in telescopes, mercury vapor lamps, neon signs, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, Mickey, you mentioned how it was used in gold mining activity. Is that primarily illegal gold mining activity, or do legitimate operations also use mercury? But
it's almost entirely illegal gold mining or artisanal, especially in third world countries where people are trying to make a living. And so what's happened is over the last few years, the European Union and the U.S. have banned importing and exporting of mercury. It's created this black market. The price has gone from about $600 a flask to almost $1,900 in the last three or 4 years. A flask of mercury is basically a 2 liter bottle of steel or an iron flask. And that weighs 34.5 kilograms, so you can understand a bit. Essentially, a 2 liter Coke bottle has 76 pounds, 34.5 kilograms in it. So, but it's created this black market, and no matter what the world tries to do, there's going to be a continued production of mercury. Even though it's trying to be sequestered now, because it's a byproduct of gold mining, and it's a byproduct of smelters, especially copper smelters. It's a byproduct of cement production. So there are attempts to regulate the emissions from cement plants. So we've got all this mercury now that we don't know what to do with. And there's also environmental sources. It's estimated that half of the mercury in the atmosphere comes from volcanic eruptions. A good portion of the rest of it is from coal burning by individuals. So parts of the world where people heat their houses with coal stoves is a problem too. So anyway, we've kind of created a problem in the world by trying to regulate it, created a black market, and who knows where it's going to go from here.
We a big problem on our hands. Is there a safe and proven way of actually disposing of mercury?
Collect it and
store it somewhere.
Put it in flasks or containers that it won't eat away at, and that would be steel containers.
So. Okay, maybe sink those big steel containers down some old mine shafts or something.
Who knows? Nobody's come up with a legitimate idea yet. It's one of the few metals that the U.S. still maintains a stockpile. By my calculations, doing from the USGS, it looks like the U.S. is sitting on 5,600 tons, most of that stored in Hawthorne, Nevada, and then a significant amount stored supposedly temporarily in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. It also has some applications in nuclear reactors, which explains Tennessee Valley Authority involvement with this.
Okay, and wrapping up, Mickey, I guess it's no surprise when we look at the countries that have the most mercury in terms of production, illegal or not, China's on top. And is that kind of a reflection of lax environmental rules or the ignoring of environmental impact?
Well, China does produce about 75% of the world's production. Second in line is Kyrgyzstan. It's a problem. You know, lots of copper smelters and lots of gold mining in China. So there certainly is likely to be a supply and a demand. Interestingly enough, the U.S. Just banned exports at the end of 2012. But in 2012, it was among the top five exporters. And here's the countries it exports to. The top three countries were Indonesia, which has a robust artisanal gold mining community. Mm-hmm. Peru, and we've all heard of Madre de Dios in southeast Peru and the environmental degradation going on there from illegal placer mining and mercury. And the third country would be Nigeria, and we all know that's a very corrupt country, and I would submit that probably goes to illegal miners in other parts of Africa.
All right, does that pretty well take care of mercury, Mickey, do you think?
Well, yes, except for we can, of course, reference Breaking Bad, my favorite TV show set in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And if you go back to about the beginning of the second season, The high school chemistry teacher Walter White makes a very explosive substance that looks like methamphetamine of mercury fulminate and blows up his competition's office.
Yes, I remember that episode. That was a good one. That's when Walter started to take on a real nasty side, didn't he?
He certainly did, and we're in our last season with six episodes left. And it gets a little bit darker and darker every show.
All righty, good stuff. Nice way to wrap it up. Mickey, what do you want to tackle next time in toxic metals?
Well, I think we'll go to another one that we all know something about, at least through the movies, and that is arsenic, and it is toxic, and we'll discuss that and some of the problems associated with worldwide arsenic production.
Okay, great stuff. Thanks very much, Mickey, and we'll reconnect in a couple of weeks.
All right, thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com, and you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.